This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
What a difference a week makes. So one week we have Robert Schaefer basically saying that if you saw a UFO, you're mistaken, or maybe you're a liar.
You're a liar, yeah.
Right, you know, and even then he kind of disputed the extent of the lying. So Micah Hanks was supposedly told by him that a lot of these people are liars. And he said, no, no, no. Well, maybe some are. But there you go. That's eyewitness testimony for you. You can't trust it. And then we get a real class act, Chris Rutkowski.
Yeah.
This is a scientist. He's done 25 years of UFO research, tapped into this document with he and his colleagues, explore 15,000 UFO cases, very careful about witness testimony, and we noticed that the vast, vast majority of those stories were rejected as something conventional early on. And the stuff that passed muster has got to be really good.
Yeah. But I don't think it was 14,000 some odd hundred people that were lying.
Right. All I want to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to fabricate a UFO sighting. My life depends on fabricating a UFO sighting.
I tried, Gene. I tried. But unfortunately, my sense of duty and honesty, I called it an IFO when I posted it online. But I hoaxed a really good, I think, really good UFO footage. And I think I may have come up with a possible way to explain the very famous Tim Edwards footage that was captured in August, I think, of 95. Or was it 94? Oh, man, years fly by here. 20 years ago for the Edwards footage, the daylight footage of the object skipping around in the air above Salida, Colorado.
Okay.
I found this spider web that was strung between a tree in my house, and it was perfectly backlit by the sun. And where the sun appeared, the light refracting through the spider web, because of a slight breeze, the spider web would move, and that light would just go up and down this strand. And I grabbed my video camera and got some incredible footage that looks just like the Tim Edwards footage. So I really appreciate people like today's guest, Ben Radford, who attempt to apply the scientific method to explain some of these mysteries that we're all so intrigued by. But, well, we'll get into this later. I don't like people that rain on parades and possibly misrepresent themselves in some ways. Anyway, it's going to be fun. I love our up and down teeter-totter act that we've been doing here the last few weeks with a skeptic and then a really good scientist and then a skeptic. And I just love the Paracast for that. We do kind of go ebb and flow and up and down. It's really fun.
Now, Ben Radford's book is called Mysterious New Mexico. So in a sense, he's kind of raining on Chris's parade there because he's covering some of the areas that Chris has covered in the Mysterious Valley. But he also has a chapter in here, by the way, in the book, and we're going to ask him about this later on, a chapter on the Aztec New Mexico case. He only mentions Roswell in connection with Aztec, but he kind of gets his facts wrong. I don't claim to be an expert on Aztec, but we have had extensive discussions on that particular case here. We've featured Frank Warren and Scott Ramsey. We featured Kevin Randall. We had one of our former co-hosts referring to Aztec as the case that's kind of like Dracula. You drive a stake through it, but it always seems to come back. So we'll get into that, and we'll talk about that. It's going to be fascinating. But it's interesting when you do this kind of discussion about the fact that, for the most part, the people who are like a Chris Rutkowski, where they accumulate lots of cases and thoroughly study them, they go out and actually investigate things. Yep. They don't just sit there in the armchair and say, oh, it's this, it's that, it's the other thing. Robert Schaefer sits back, I don't know how many cases he ever explored. Looks like Ben Radford did a little investigation there. I don't know. We'll have to find out in more detail about it. But I don't see how you can dismiss something without investigating.
Yeah. I don't know. It's intellectual dishonesty, I think, in many ways. Especially when you go out to look into a current case or a case that's, in the fairly recent past. There are still people out there that can be contacted, and you can go out to particular sites and get the lay of the land. And I think that that's really important. Boots on the ground, there is no substitute for that. And there's also no substitute for bringing to bear the scientific method on the types of cases that we discuss here on the Paracast. And it's important to be intellectually honest with yourself and not be exclusive with selecting particular data points. You have to look at all the data. You can't just look at a particular slice of that data that conforms to your potentially foregone conclusion. It's something I've been harping on here ever since I started on the Paracast, and I will continue to do so.
Well, the point is here is that in any particular case that you investigate, you want to look for a possible mundane answers.
Right.
Sure. Maybe a UFO photo is something conventional. Maybe some people faked the photo. Maybe people misidentified something. Maybe the apparition they saw is something particularly mundane. Get that out of the way first. Once you get it out of the way, then you can sit back and concentrate on the unknowns and see how many of those cases still pass muster. And you keep reviewing them and reviewing them as much as possible until you reach the point of no return. There's no more information. I think in a case like Roswell, I think we've reached the point long ago where there's no more information to be had.
Yeah.
Even this dream team, what have they produced? Somebody finds alleged Kodachrome slides in an attic?
Yeah. I like the Roswell rock. It's kind of resurfacing right now as a news item. And I think somebody has duplicated it. They've gone to the trouble of actually carving this enigmatic symbol into a piece of stone. I haven't really read these articles yet, but they have to come up with something new with Roswell. So let's dig up a rock that mirrors, some crop circle design by hoaxers in England.
I'll tell you, this is going to be the ultimate pun. Okay? The reason they did that is because they were between a rock
and Roswell.
Even better. The article, by the way, is called The Roswell Rock over at Kevin Randall's Different Perspective blog. Just Google Kevin Randall or Different Perspective. The article is dated Sunday, August 31st. And Kevin, by the way, is kind of misrepresented in this book by Radford. That's one of the things I'm going to ask him about.
Well,
but Kevin is a pretty skeptical guy. You think, well, he believes in Roswell. He's got to be kind of a gullible guy. Well, no, not at all. He very much questions his own beliefs, his own viewpoints.
Yeah.
Almost
in a curmudgeonly fashion.
Very much so. He's always a great guest. So, for example, maybe at one time he believed in Aztec, but he sure doesn't now. In fact, we had a very spirited discussion between him and Scott Ramsey on Aztec. Now, maybe Ramsey had all the minutia there that Randall didn't have, but it's still a matter of where is the evidence at this late stage. Certainly, if you can't get evidence on Roswell except for rocks and Kodachrome slides in someone's attic in a box, it's less so for Aztec or any of those cases. I mean, right now, with, 34 years behind us, we got to start cleaning up Rendlesham. And that's another case that's very important. By the way, Peter Robbins, who was the co-author of Left at Eastgate, has a new e-book or set of e-book chapters out covering Rendlesham. Very important, and we're going to have Peter back on the show in the very near future, once he gets a few things cleared up. So I've been talking to him about it. Anyway, we'll be talking today with Ben Radford, author of Mysterious New Mexico, Miracles, Magic, and Monsters in the Land of Enchantment. Sounds enchanting. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yeah.
Everybody's checking the deepness of their voice as we begin the show.
Yeah.
I'm going below my balls for you guys, just for you guys.
You rang...
Rain? Yeah.
People are going to wonder what this radio show is all about. It's about a book from Benjamin Radford called Mysterious New Mexico. He joins us on the Paracast to talk about the book with the subtitle Miracles, Magic, and Monsters in the Land of Enchantment.
Yes.
Yes.
He does it in an Orson Welles. I can't do the Orson Welles, but yes, like Pinky and the Brain. You know, when the Brain from the Animaniacs cartoon, the guy that did the voice of the Brain, he was talking about how he would intentionally put in some Orson Welles into the Brain stories. It was a great Mo LaMarche. That's what it was.
Well, you know, Orson Welles was also famous for being one of the youngest actors to portray the Shadow on radio. But he could never get the laugh right. They had to use someone else's laugh. You know, he did this, that kind of thing.
Right.
He couldn't do it.
He couldn't pull it off.
He had the right voice for Lamont Cranston and the Shadow, which is basically just putting a filter in front of your mouth. I am the Shadow, that kind of thing.
Right.
But he couldn't do the laugh. Isn't that wicked?
That is bizarre. I'm a big cinemaphile fan, so I'm a fan of lots of Orson Welles' stuff, from The Third Man, of course, to Citizen Kane and all that. But I have to say, Orson's given me some of the most robust laughs in the past few years. If you've ever gone on YouTube and seen his drunk Paul Masson commercials, it's just golden.
We will sell no wine before it's time.
Well, the French.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what's going to happen here is when they review us on iTunes, they're going to say all the Paracast does is try to imitate Orson Welles. They try to be like the Shadow. Who knows? What are the lurks? And forget it. They're trying to do that. And that's not what the show is all about.
No,
maybe
totally
it's the mindset of Mysterious New Mexico.
Yes, yes.
That's what does it.
You know, Ben, I think you should call this book The Not-So-Mysterious New Mexico, based on a lot of the work that you put into this book. You popping a lot of balloons here, buddy.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Part of the reason the way that this whole book came about is that I had done, as you guys know, I'd done a previous book for the University of New Mexico Press, UNM Press, on the Chupacabra and solving the Chupacabra mystery. It's called Tracking the Chupacabra.
Well, the urban legend.
Actually, technically, it's not an urban legend.
It comes from the countryside.
Right.
Oh, so it's a country legend.
The banjo picking legend.
So now we have the stereotype. If you live in the country, you got to pick the banjo.
Well, how many banjo pickers do you see just walking around major cities? Not many. Am I right?
Nashville. Nashville's a pretty big city.
Okay, other than Nashville.
Austin?
My point stands. So, the point here is that I did the Chupacabra book for UNM Press, and it was well received. I was actually very pleased about it, because not only was it well received in cryptozoology circles and skeptics, even many believers sort of had to grudgingly admit that I had either solved the case or damn near solved the case.
Absolutely, and I would concur.
Well, I appreciate that. What was particularly gratifying about it was that it was also well received in academic community. It was well reviewed in folklore journals, for example. You know, people who really know their stuff, and they said, "Wow, you know, this is a cryptozoology sort of monstery mystery book, but it's also, you know, a good example of how to do good research and scholarship," which is sort of, you know, my forte. And so what happened was that after that book came out in 2010. My editor over at UNM Press said, "Hey, you know, I know you've done all these other books. I've done six other books, everything from Lake Monster Mysteries to Media Panics and Hoaxes and this and that." And he said, "Well, you know, you've done this investigations all over the world, including, you know, Loch Ness and Africa and South America. What about here in New Mexico? What about our own home state?" And he said, "You know, there's no shortage of weirdness here." And I said, "That you got that right."
Well, Chris doesn't live there anymore, so.
Right.
I never did.
That just made it all the more strange. So they said, "Yeah, so why don't we go ahead and do some investigations?" And I had already, to be honest, I've already, some of these, I mean, the book is a collection of 13 investigations I've done over the years. So it's not like I did all these within the last few years, although some of them I did. And so it was basically an opportunity for me to collect mysteries and miracles and unusual cases that either were here in New Mexico, most of them were, or had some fairly significant New Mexico connection. For example, the Crystal Skulls case is primarily Colorado, as Chris knows, but it does have some connections to New Mexico. So I felt it was interesting and unique enough and had enough New Mexico connections to include it.
Okay. Now, I'm just curious about one thing here. In Mysterious New Mexico, you have a chapter on the Aztec UFO, but not about Roswell, except to mention it a number of times in connection with Aztec. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, there's actually a couple reasons for that. One was that what I try to do in my research and my work is to, I try not to reinvent the wheel. And there's lots and lots and lots of places where you can find information, some good, some bad, on the Roswell crash. The Roswell crash in 1947 here in New Mexico is pretty well picked over. That doesn't, of course, stop UFO proponents from cranking out a new untold secrets of Roswell every year or two. But the simple fact is that, for the most part, the skeptics and the skeptical community have done a pretty robust job between Robert Schaefer and Dave Thomas and Phil Klass and others of addressing the Roswell claims. And I know quite a bit about it. It's just not something that I really was interested in doing, partly because, again, it's already been done.
It's already been buried, but the other thing about it is that you still hear the stories. Like Kevin Randall covers this silly story about this Roswell rock that nobody could possibly believe. And remember, we understand here, Kevin is a guy who thinks something alien happened at Roswell, but he's still not going to accept everything.
Right.
He's going to be pretty sensible about it. But isn't it also true that Aztec has been pretty well covered over and over and really hasn't been given much credibility except by a small number of people? So why bring up Aztec? You see, Roswell, at least, even if there's not new evidence, we can debate the meaning of what there is. But sure. Aztec seems to be so much of a lesser story.
Well, it's a lesser story within the UFO community. I mean, this is the other thing to recognize, that Mysterious New Mexico is intended to be a sort of a lay audience, general audience. And so you're exactly right. You know, within skeptics in the UFO community, Aztec is old hat. But I can tell you over and over again, the book has now been out for about 6 weeks now, and I've had several people come up to me and say, wow, I'd never even heard of Aztec. Everyone always thinks of UFO crashes in Roswell. And so I've had lots of people who have never even heard of the story, much less, you know, all its intricacies. And so because the book is aimed at a broader audience or people who are interested in, you know, unusual and strange occurrences in New Mexico, and certainly the Aztec UFO crash, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, I mean, it's a bizarre story either way, and therefore warrants a chapter in there.
A couple of things I wanted to ask you about that, because I was confused about some of the items. So we have the gentleman who worked for a San Francisco newspaper, J.P. Kahn, mm-hmm. and he writes an expose of Frank Scully's book, Behind the Flying Saucers. Now, that's the beginning of the framing of the question. I'll ask you more in our next segment. Benjamin Radford joins us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. simulation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Does advertising on the Genesis Communications Radio Network actually bring positive results? Let's ask
Thomas Baldrick from Freeze-Dried Guy.
And do the GCN listeners let you know they heard your ad?
Customers do let us know they've heard Freeze-Dried Guy ads on GCN. They seem to be very loyal listeners to GCN, and they stay with those shows, and subsequently they stay with our business, too.
Looking for positive results? Contact Lee Wickenhauser at 877-996-4327, extension 107.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We are visiting Mysterious New Mexico. There's not much in UFOs there, but he does cover the Aztec crash from 1948.
Alleged Aztec
alleged.
Crash.
Fair enough.
From 47.
The alleged Aztec crash.
There you go. Well done.
Alleged Aztec New Mexico. It actually happened in 1948, folks. Okay?
Well, right. I've just.
Okay, right. It happened in March of 1948. Let's get the facts right, okay?
Right.
Now, it first showed up in any particular detail in a book by Frank Scully called Behind the Flying Saucers. And let's explain who Frank Scully was. He was a gossip columnist for Variety.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, we're talking about an entertainment reporter here, a gossip columnist. You know, he may be in the late 40s, early 50s. He'll tell you who Frank Sinatra was dating at the time.
Exactly. That's his beat.
That was his beat. He was not a serious journalist, didn't pretend to be. But then it comes out with Behind the Flying Saucers. And my impression of this is that he believed it.
Mm-hmm.
You can say he's gullible. You can say he was taken in by a couple of con men, but he believed it.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Con men. Oh, good one.
Yes. I'm getting better at this. As I get older, I get worse at this. No, seriously. Okay, so he's taken in by this con man. Then another guy named Con from San Francisco exposes it. His articles were in True Magazine around 1952.
That sounds about right.
And it was True Magazine. For those who wonder what I'm talking about, True Magazine, what's that? Well, back in the early days in the 20th century, you had these so-called men's action magazines, Men of Action. And it was True. It was Argosy. It was Saga. And they would also cover UFOs, paranormal stuff. But the most famous thing is that kind of magazine featured the first stories by Edgar Rice Burroughs in the early part of the 20th century, Tarzan, John Carter of Mars, they came out in these men's magazines. So True magazine carries a story in 1952 exposing the Aztec case. And the main reason is the two major sources, G. Bauer and Newton, were con men. They're confidence men. They're fooling people. They're taking their money. And you mention in the book also that they were found guilty.
Mm-hmm. They were.
They were found guilty. And that they were convicted of crimes where they could spend many years in jail. But I understand they never actually spent time in jail. Is that correct?
You know, I don't remember the exact follow up to the Newton and Jabauer criminal trial. In many ways, partly because it's actually not that relevant to the whole UFO crash. I mean, in terms of, I mean, we know for a fact that they were con men. We know for a fact that they fed the story to Scully, and then Khan, you know, when did research on that. And so, you know, to answer your question, I've forgotten off the top of my head exactly, you know, who spent what time in jail, just because it's not actually that relevant to the whole UFO cover-up story. It's sort of, you know, an interesting after part. But certainly, you know, they were convicted, and you know, part of the problem is interesting because if you look at the timeline on this, there was, I think, about over a decade or nearly a decade between the time when they were finally essentially caught and the time they were convicted. So I actually don't know why it took so long. When I was talking to Robert Schaefer and going through Khan's work, he does talk about how there were problems in assembling the case against these two con men, partly because, for example, people were reluctant to come forward. They didn't want to admit that they and, you know, what we're talking about now isn't going to make sense to people who haven't read the chapter, who don't know the whole story. But they, for example, didn't want to admit that they'd been scammed by these con men who were selling them technology allegedly from Venus. And so there was a reluctance to sort of come forward. And so some people had to sort of be, you know, say, well, look, you know, we need someone to testify against these people. So I think that that's part of the story.
Okay, so in passing, though, it might have been worth adding a sentence or checking it out. No, despite being convicted, they really didn't go to jail. But let's look at the case itself, because this gets to be interesting. Now, let's continue, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, so we have the situation here where you imply that Kevin Randall believes in this, and maybe he did 25 years ago, but he's famously been on the Paracast a few times and written extensively in his blog, A Different Perspective, that he doesn't buy Aztec.
Mm-hmm.
You're aware of that, right? I didn't get that impression from the book.
Right. I'm trying to remember what exactly, you know, when was his change of heart? When was that? Do you know?
I wouldn't put a time on it. I know that since we've been doing the Paracast since 2006, when we have talked to Randall about that case, he's been skeptical. So I wouldn't attempt to frame the extent of his disbelief. You can probably check his blog to get more information.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, at least sure. The last few years that we know him actively because of this show, he was not a believer in Aztec. And the main believer currently, the guy now who really supports it, is Scott Ramsey.
Right, who I quote in the book.
Right. Now, the thing here, of course, is that in his book, he also tries to resurrect the reputation of Scully.
Mm-hmm.
And even Jabauer and even Newton, he tries to make it look as if that some of those claims weren't supported and maybe the authorities were going after them, but that's a little bit murky. So
yeah, I mean, I to be honest, I was astonished when I was reading about Scott Ramsey's, you know, his attempt to, as you sort of said, to sort of resurrect this thing. And he's like, oh no, you know, it really happened. And again, it's like, it's crystal clear. I mean, it is absolutely indisputable that you know, these were two con men who made up the story. And but basically his Ramsey's premise, unless I'm badly misunderstanding it, is basically saying, well, You know, yes, you know, these guys were liars, and yes, they were con men, but this was all sort of, you know, a cover story for something that actually happened. And he goes into, you know, talking about, and you sort of brought this up before, he spent months trying to track down some weird, mysterious sort of conspiracy theory about some reporter at the Baltimore Sun-Times, which is what he said, it's actually not the name of the paper, who was trying to track down a UFO photo. It's just this bizarre thing. And if you listen to this, listen to the interview in the podcast, and he's quoted in there, he says, well, you know, I'm confused. I have no idea what all this means. And it's like, well, look, dude, if you've spent so much time on this, months and years of research, and you have this piece of information that doesn't fit everything else, then maybe it's wrong. Maybe you got the information wrong. Maybe it's all, you know, it's all one of many red herrings in this whole story. And so it just astonished me that this writer was going, oh, yeah, well, you know, I can't make heads or tail of this. Well, that's a red flag that the information that you're pursuing is false, which is it's not a discredit to you. There's lots of misinformation, both intentional and accidental, throughout ufology. You guys know this, and he should know this. And yet, you know, he sort of tries to do this whole, well, you know, maybe this is all true in the end. It's like, dude, come on, give it up.
I kind of look at it as maybe this is the prosecution. The prosecution's trying to assemble a case in favor of Aztec, mm-hmm. and to discredit the defense, the people saying, no, this is a fake. And I guess he goes as far as is humanly possible. Now, he told me personally, he told us on the show, that he spent over $500,000 of his personal money, and he's a businessman, I guess he's decently well off. He spent a lot of this money to do the research, and that's a commendable effort. But after spending all that money, if this is all you can come up with, and it's a lot more than spent in a lot of other UFO cases, maybe there's nothing for you to find. We can go into more of that and get into some of the other stories in Mysterious New Mexico. Ben Radford joins us. A reminder, if you want to get a copy of one of Chris O'Brien's best books, Secrets of the Mysterious Valley, the ebook edition, free, here's what you do. Go to theparacast.com. theparacast.com, sign up for our weekly newsletter, and we'll email you a copy of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I didn't believe it. Neither did I. No way could you professionally remove unwanted hair, pain-free, and at home.
My thoughts exactly.
Remove my face and body hair without expensive, painful office visits?
Not possible. Great minds think alike.
Until I tried No-No Pro.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you tried No-No?
Yes, and it works. I use it on my face, legs, bikini line.
We're BFFs, and you didn't tell me about No-No?
Here, this is my new No-No Pro. The most powerful No-No made. Custom treatment levels, less hair and less time, perfect for any skin type. Try it.
No hair, no pain, no time. Time-consuming expensive office visits?
No, no, and no-no.
For a limited time, you can try No-No Pro risk-free. You'll also get the facial kit and a travel case. Get weeks of long-lasting results.
That's it. I'm getting a no-no.
Great minds do think alike.
Try No-No Pro risk-free by calling 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760. That's 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond OsteoFX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Okay, we've got Ben Radford joining us with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. Before we leave Aztec away, we send it back to wherever it is. Just one other point I want to ask you here. You said that Scully's reputation was really tainted by this. How can a gossip columnist's reputation be tainted by anything?
Certainly.
I'm just wondering.
No, it's a fair question. I mean, you know, the fact is that, as I understand, and I'm not a historian on Frank Scully, but from the research that I've done, is that even though he was a gossip columnist, and that was sort of, again, as we said, that was his beat, he went out on a limb with Behind the Flying Saucers. He was basically saying, yeah, okay, all this stuff I was doing before, it's all rumor and gossip and, you know, celebrity stuff, blah, blah. And by the way, let's not forget that much of the stuff he reported was true. You know, Sinatra's love life, this and that. It's all rumor and gossip and, you know, stuff that's inconsequential, but that doesn't make it not true. It's the same way today, rumors about, you know, oh, yeah, the first photos of, you know, Angelina Jolie's baby, or, you know, what Mariah was dumped, you know. This is all sort of superficial, inconsequential gossip, but that doesn't make it not true.
Well, you know, of course, now the big controversy this week is the alleged nude photos of Jennifer Lawrence and some other people, and the only response I have to that before we go on is, really? Are you that stupid that you're going to take pictures like that? It doesn't matter where you upload them. You leave them on your phone, and it's not just an iPhone, it's Android phones and everything.
Well, Scarlett,
you leave it on your phone, you're going to send it up to the cloud, whether it's Google or Apple or Microsoft, and you don't expect to be hacked?
Scarlett Johansson did it a few years ago. So, I mean, you raise a good question, but my understanding is that with Behind the Flying Saucers, Scully was essentially trying to stake his credibility as a journalist. I think he was tired of, I mean, he certainly made a good living, and he was well known in those circles as, you know, celebrity rumor and gossip from that time, which is fine. But he was totally taken in by these guys. He's like, look, you know, I'm going to break this story wide open, because as you yourself said, he apparently believed this. He, you know, I have no reason to think that Scully was in on this. I think he believed this from start to finish. And if you take that as a premise, and he really believes that, oh my God, you know, there really was this crash. These guys seem
completely legitimate. This one guy's got more degrees than a thermometer, as he said,
and probably worth no more than a thermometer.
Exactly. Then you know, you can see why he would want to use that book to sort of stake out more credibility. And so that's why I think in the end his credibility was tarnished, because he had gone out on a limb based on these two con men and put his name on it, and he was fooled.
And so we consign Aztec to what, the dustbin of history?
Well, you know, the thing about, as you guys know, I mean, one of the fascinating parts about these you know, paranormal and unexplained things is there's rubber duck syndrome, where it keeps coming up. It doesn't matter. Same thing with, you know, the Bermuda Triangle. The Bermuda Triangle was essentially debunked in the mid-70s. And to this day, there's still documentaries on it. There's still, you know, occasional, you know, magazine articles and books and this and that. So it's never going to go away. But what I think is really fascinating about the Aztec UFO crash is the whole story. It's the whole structure. It's not just like, ooh, this was a con. It's like, it not only was it a con, it was actually the first, as far as I know, it was actually the first case where anybody had claimed that the U.S. government had retrieved an intact flying saucer complete with alien bodies and hidden it. So it's remarkable. I mean, it turned out to be a lie, of course, but it's remarkable for its early date, 1948, and that fact alone.
Well, at least one thing we know is that obviously stories like that after Aztec didn't go anywhere until Roswell was resurrected 20-some-odd years later. In any case, now to the dustbin of history is Aztec. I know Scott Ramsey, who's a really nice guy, is not going to like me saying that, but Chris and I agree. This is not the case it should rise and fall on. Now, maybe you and I would disagree about the worth of Roswell, but you know, I'm not a full-on believer in that either. Okay, let's explore more of Mysterious New Mexico. That doesn't involve crash UFOs.
Okay.
And I'm going to bring in our expert for such matters, Mr. Chris O'Brien, who will follow through. Chris?
Yeah, the Jell-O slurping true believer.
Excuse me.
Token Jell-O slurper?
Yeah, I'm beyond Kool-Aid drinking, Ben. Now I'm a Jell-O slurper.
Wow, that's hardcore. Especially since the original Jonestown Massacre was Flavor-Aid, not Kool-Aid.
Right. Yep. Oh, there's so many Kool-Aid drinkers out there. We try to be all things for all people.
That's good. You know, it's good that you're out there.
Yeah. Well, who did the cover of your book? My friend Susan took one look at it and shrieked. For those of you that haven't seen the cover, it's a dead, ghoulish woman holding a sleeping baby in her arms, and the woman has several dozen big spiders coming out of her mouth and spreading out around her, and she looks like something out of Walking Dead or something.
It is a remarkably creepy cover. So far, the reaction I've got is about 70% love it, 30% say, get that thing away from me. I don't want that anywhere near me.
It is rather disconcerting, especially coming out of New Mexico Press. I'm surprised that they would supply you with a cover like that.
Well,
going on the assumption you had nothing to do with it, which I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Well, actually, I had something to do with it. I'll tell you a quick story on it, just because it might find interesting, is that I was actually at a horror and paranormal conference in Lexington, Kentucky, about 5 or 6 years ago. And I was there, I was giving a talk there, and I also had a booth. I had a board game called Playing Gods, which some of you may or may not know about. And I was, you know, as conferences are, you know, there's times when there's nobody there, so you're just sort of sitting there, you know, twiddling your thumbs. And so I took a break and stretched and walked around, and I came across a booth from horror photographer Josh Hoffine, H-O-F-F-I-N-E. And I met him, and I'd seen some of his prints, and they were really sort of creepy, interesting, and he did the cover there. And he does all sorts of sort of zombie ones, and it's what's interesting about his photography is it's all practical. He doesn't use CGI. It's all
practical. Oh, you can tell. He staged this one.
Yeah. And
yeah,
so
you know what the cardinal rule is in Hollywood? Never work with animals or children.
Right, and here you got both. Or ghouls. I don't know about ghouls, the undead. And we got all three of those.
Yeah, they can be hard to wrangle sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, you just get the sedatives and the Kool-Aid and you're fine. But I'd met him and I talked to him and I actually bought a couple of his prints and I've got them on my walls. And so, you know, I'd stayed in touch with him every now and then. I'd buy a print or whatever for a friend. And then when I was finishing Mysterious New Mexico probably about a year ago now, I was looking for art for the chapter on La Llorona, the wailing woman who kills her children and is supposedly said to be haunting ditches and waterways around the world, and particularly in Latin America. And so I have a fascinating, at least fascinating to me, chapter on La Llorona and the folklore and all the actual sightings, including get into urban legends and all this. It was kind of a difficult thing to illustrate because, you know, no one's ever photographed her, and it's sort of a, you know, again, an urban legend folkloric figure. And I realized that this photograph that's on the cover is called Swarm. It covers a lot of the elements of the La Llorona. So as far as I know, it wasn't intended to be a, you know, a depiction of La Llorona, but it certainly is pretty close, and it would work for that. So I contacted him. I said, hey, you know, I'm doing this book. I met you before. He's like, yeah, fine, whatever. So that photograph is actually on the inside. It opens the chapter in La Llorona. And so I was like, okay, cool. So I got the permission for that. And then about 2 months later, I got an email from the editor of the book. And she's like, yeah, what do you think of our cover? And I looked at it and I said, that's a creepy cover, but I don't have permission for that. I only got permission to do the inside, to have the image on the inside. Say, oh, no, we talked to him. He's fine. You know, he's happy with it. We're good. So I was like, all right.
So you like it, don't you, Ben?
you like it, don't you? Yeah, dirty boy. It's weird. You know, my concern was, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but I was like, well, you know, the title of the book is vertical. It makes it harder to read because, you know, most book titles are horizontal. That's in this particular case because of the layout of the book cover. It says Mysterious New Mexico, and I guess my name's horizontal, and that's important. But the rest of it is vertical. And I talked to the editor. He's like, well, you know, we don't think it's that big a deal because, you know, really the function of a cover is to catch your eye. And this certainly does that.
This one definitely catches your eye.
So, yeah.
I'll tell you, for all you mothers out there with newborns, I just hope you have better hair day and you don't like spiders like this model does. Oh, my God. It's creepy. You brought up La Llorona. Ben, that's maybe we should dovetail into talking about La Llorona. It's one of the few, you know, true urban legends that I received reports with people calling up to report La Llorona.
Interesting.
And this happened a number of times in the San Luis Valley in Colorado. Because, you know, the first time that they said it, I thought, well, La who? They said, yeah, La Llorona, the weeping woman. And it's like, well, I better check up on that. And I did. I did quite a bit of research into this, and as you have. So when we get back, Ben, let's go ahead and we'll talk about La Llorona. You're listening to the Paracast with Christopher O'Brien and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare fuel is the answer. Spare fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, spare fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.